So you've nearly made it all the way through. Congratulations, guys. And 9 a.m. Actually, that's not so bad. I've had some 8 a.m. starts. Fortunately, TechEdNZ are a little bit more forgiving on the last morning, so that's good news. My name's Anthony Boughton. I'm a Microsoft Visual Studio ALM MVP. And I spend most of my time traveling and teaching people about TFS and ALM best practices. It's my second talk here at TechEd. I did a talk on web-based test case management yesterday afternoon, and I get to relax a little bit in about 58 and a half minutes time, and looking forward to that a little bit. Clicker. Hey, there we go, Clicker. There's some spiel there. I've been a certified trainer for a long, long time, Microsoft certified professional for even longer. There's a Twitter handle up there and a website. I've taken the blog down. The blog gets really badly ignored. It's my barometer of ALM. If I've got time to sit there and blog, ALM's in trouble. That's my theory and my justification anyway. So what are you all here for this morning? Well, hopefully to find out a little bit about application insights, or every other session was rubbish. I'll take either. You know, it's the last day, it's all good for me. We want to learn why application insights, and it's important to really position why we want to know about this. After we learn about why, we'll then talk about, you know, our application. Is it available? It's an interesting question. Is your application performing? You know, how's it performing? And then finally, is your application succeeding? How are your users using the application? So they're the main three pillars of application insights. And I'm hoping that we'll probably have a good 10 minutes for some Q&A at the end. Okay, we'll see how that works out. It just depends. For those of you that attended my session yesterday, you'll know that I like a good interactive room. And this one, it's not too bad. It's nice so that you're all nice and close, but sort of the whole swaying left to right is quite interesting. Wow, and this side of the room is really popular, and this side over here, they've got room to spread out. They're like laying across the chairs. So the smart guys are up that end of the room, I reckon. Whoa, did I just offend half my audience? Yeah, I think I did. Off to a great start. Forget that when you do the eval. So why the need for application insights? Well, every company is a software company. I'm going to do something, and I know this is going to work spectacularly well first thing in the morning. I'm going to have my volunteers across the front row. Oh, look at them, they're all excited already. We're going to prove that pretty much every company relies upon software. Okay, we can get very creative, and you can prove me wrong. Very creative. But let's imagine, did you just turn your badge around? He did too, so I can't use his name. I can just point. So that just makes him a target. Everyone, look, sorry, just kidding. So I want you to imagine the applications that it takes to run TechEd. Specifically, I want these guys to think about the applications running TechEd. That's not too hard, is it? So explain or tell me one piece of software that's relied upon, you don't, not by name, but one piece of software, one part of the architecture that makes this event a success. I'll have to give them a minute. Would anyone like to volunteer back there to show them how easy it is? Oh, well, PowerPoint. That's awesome. Excellent. Well, that's it. You know, if PowerPoint works, the conference works. That's a given. So, the scheduler for the food, that's really important. Thank you for picking that out. At least he picked something that I have contributed to some slides. I didn't take any credit for the food. Oh, sorry? No. The cloud's got to work, particularly, we've got a lot of clouds out there today. So yes, it's hosted up in the cloud, many, many parts of it. What's another part, another application, another piece of the puzzle? Active Directory, so some authentication. So as we've all gone and registered, we've needed to get on there with maybe a Microsoft account or some such thing. Good, next. They're helping you out. Registration website, so website's got to work. Databases have got to work. Ooh, those little things too, they've got to work. They've got to make sure, sorry, don't go there. Continue. You're going to have to come up with another one. My schedules, part of the Rego site. Was that it? Let's go with that. How are we going down here? Is it getting harder? Oh, still feeding the coffee. Okay. So the order processing system that allowed them to purchase the coffee. Excellent. That's got to work. That's actually right up there before they book speaker travel. Must have coffee. How are you going to go? It's the end. The pressure's on. How did your boss pay for you to come along? Was it a credit card or a purchase order? Excellent. So the purchase order system's got to work because, well, Microsoft have got to get a little bit of money to pay for all of the wonderful things that we consume here as TechEd. The list goes on, but I think we've proven a point that every company is a software company. How many of you are developers? How many people work on applications for their company? I should suspect that would be most of you. Excellent. He's got his eyes down. Oh, there he is. He's noticed that I'm looking at him. All righty. And he's proud. It's James. So James, is your application working right now?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He has a heap of confidence based on the boss hasn't rung yet. And based on the fact that his phone's turned on and in his pocket and not up in his room. So yeah, we hope our applications are all working. The agile transformation and the movement to the cloud create a new and exacerbate existing impediments. IT's out of the picture. I've worked in many environments where I've walked into the server room. You know, you open it up, especially in Brisbane in the middle of summer, you spend a lot of time in the server room. Never really figured, oh, that's broken again. Off we go. Ah, thank God, this is great. Particularly straight after lunch when you've had to go outside. So we can't see those servers anymore. We don't get the same degree of freedom and flexibility, although the cloud providers are doing pretty well. So that makes things a challenge. Agree? Disagree? Again, I'm not taking anything away from the interfaces that our cloud hosting providers are providing for us. I think they're actually very, very good. But it's not the same as going into the server room and cooling down. I mean, playing with the servers and look at what's going on, looking at the flashing lights, because if you can't see the flashing lights, it isn't working. Come on, you know that's true. Tough audience. Flashing lights are good. Okay. That's a good idea. Monitoring is about paying people to look at flashing lights. I love it. Modern applications. Truly large-scale distributed applications are becoming more the norm. You know, we need to reach global communities, and particularly, I guess, you know, for an audience of people in this lovely little part of the world where flying anywhere apart from visiting, you know, Australia is quite a chore. I know about it. I am going to travel over the Pacific to the US 12 times this year. Yep. No DVT to speak of. I'm considering that a win, so I'm all happy. So with global reach, bigger applications, hybrid applications that rely on multiple services are the norm for us. Let's look at our experiences. It's becoming more and more about every experience we deliver, not the averages. We can't say, oh, we kept 75% of our customers happy. Would your boss be happy with that, Chris? Come on, that's more than half. That, you know, KPI 75% sold. I'll tell a story. It's an unfortunate story that involves my dear darling wife, who is still married to me, even though I'm away. That's probably why. Interesting. I'm away for more than half of the year. It's the secret of success, distance and all that sort of stuff. She went to the local supermarket over there. She did a grocery shopping. She does this well. She's well practiced at it. She loves things that say new. The store just see her coming. They slap out those new signs on all the groceries and, oh, this was new and this was new. It's like, okay, excellent. We've got 14 different brands of tomato sauce, but that's good. I like tomato sauce. She had this bunch, what was it? It was a herb. It was coriander. And she picks out the coriander and it's all wilted and horrible. This was the end of the world. She was having a bad day. She must have really, really been having a bad day. So she was onto social media. You know, this horrible supermarket sold me this wilted, expired bunch of coriander. She looks to her dutiful husband for support, and I fail. Geez, why'd you buy that one? Not the right answer. No, completely the wrong answer, as it turns out. So she gets on social media and she complains about it and how this large supermarket chain are just the devil incarnate for selling me this horrible coriander. It still looked over to me and I just failed again. I just keep lining them all up, just burning those brownie points. That's the story of my life. Sorry? Out to the garage, that's right. Into the man cave and hide. That's the correct answer. Urgent client needs to see me overseas. Off to the airport again. yes, I will get a cab. That's fine, dear. So each and every single user, when we talk about social media, if you feel poorly done by Chris's company, what's your Twitter handle, Chris? You're going to go out there and you're going to say, it's all Chris's fault. And I remember this, when was it? Should I share this story? Of course, this isn't being recorded much. So I remember it was a conversation in a small conference, I think it was in Norway, and a single person that had 33 followers on Twitter said, and don't quote me on this, something about officially, unconfessionally confirmed that Microsoft are moving to Git for TFS, which is absolutely and completely unfounded and wrong. So this person with 33 followers tweeted that. And then we just watched the storm for the next week as this person with no followers had it retweeted hundreds and hundreds of times internally as people within the team are going, oh no, that'll just blow over. It didn't. It went up to one of the vice presidents who had to get on there and make a statement to say, this is not true. How absurd is that? One misunderstood comment and statement. To be very clear, most of the recent updates have improved the support for Git. All Microsoft want to do is give you choice. If you want distributed version control, here's Git with all of the capabilities. And if you want to use Team Foundation version control with server or local workspaces, here it is. We want feature parity in the product. That's all. They're not favoring one over the other as much as people would like to say that, they're the big evil. They're not. So each and every user's experience has really got to count. Disagree? No. I'm thinking, ooh, a disagreeer. This would be great fun. Who'd painted that target on themselves? Let's talk about some of the challenges of modern applications. Who likes working with other people's code? Really? Volunteering a target, I love it. Of course it is. For the recording, there was not a single hand went up then. And of course you didn't expect that. Who likes working on their own code 6 months old? No. I'll send you a bunch of my code to refactor. That's all good. So a lack of familiarity with the code makes things significantly more difficult for us. And of course, increases the possibility, the likelihood of bugs and issues. That'll fix it. Don't really know what it did, but the build didn't break. Solved. That's the best part of continuous integration. Agile development changed the way we work. So the whole thing about continuous release, continuous deployment. Think about, let's pick a team we know well, the Microsoft Visual Studio team with TFS. So they've got a year to build it. Well, actually, I won't say it quite like that. So they've got a major release, a year later, a service pack to fix some bugs. And then a year later, another major release. And that works well. You've got plenty of time. We're not too rushed. We can fix every bug. The software we released was perfect. No one believes that at all. So let's make the situation better by rushing. Yeah. Well, that's not quite true. we need to be far more responsive. Imagine you've got the next major social media success story, and it's in your repository, Alistair. The new Mark Zuckerberg. Just a little bit more mature, that's all. So he's going to create this new social media thing, and he's got this idea, and he's going to build it over the next 3 years. No one else will have a similar or better idea in 3 years, will they? Of course not. So competitive pressures mean that we need to respond to our customers far more frequently. So Microsoft now do updates to Visual Studio Online, to the cloud, every 3 weeks on average. They do those quarterly releases, approximately quarterly, I should say. And these are great. It's like Christmas 4 times a year. Okay, not as much enthusiasm I thought. You guys have interesting lives. Me, I just sit there and wait for the next update. It keeps me away from upsetting my wife. It's the real story. So those updates, think about it. You just got and bought a new car and the dealership bring you up and go, hey, we've just got a new stereo for that model. Would you mind if we come around and give it to you for free? Wouldn't that be awesome? So this is like continuous release. So that's a big challenge for modern application development for us. Could you release your application every 3 weeks? Possibly. We'd have a go at it. I'm sure there's a little calculator there somewhere we could sneak out every 3 weeks. Not the big ones. Geez, not the big ones. And then finally, fixing issues with live production systems is common. Cloud, mobile, on-premises. Production's the best place to test stuff. You know, all those users, testers out there, busily working with your application, that's a great place to work. Who's ever experienced a bug in production that they can't repro? Okay, whole room puts their hands up, even those that didn't, because we know they're lying. So, production problems are quite common. There are plenty of things that can go wrong. Our applications now need much greater reach. So on any typical architectural diagram that shows parts of our application, what can go wrong? Where can issues occur? The answer is, well, pretty much everywhere. Visual Studio Online has never had an outage. Yeah, okay, yep. That's the snippet we're going to see for sure. Of course it has. What I really like about it, though, is Microsoft's transparency. One of those outages Brian Harry blogged about, and I love reading these things. Not that there's an outage on the service, that's never a good thing. But the learning. This is what caused it. This is what we have done to try and make sure it never happens again. And here's, you know, our lesson moving forward. I'm probably going to misquote some little part of it, but the service that's responsible for roaming profiles on Visual Studio Online, I think was maybe not the last outage, the one before it. An outage of that service brought the whole thing down. If that component had have been offline for an hour, who would have noticed? Probably not many people, maybe no one even. So why does a non-critical service like that have the ability to bring down the entire application? So that's one of their learnings. And I think that's great. We can have a phone application crashing, a feature that's too hard to use. I've got a little application up here that tells me I've got 40 minutes remaining. I grabbed 3 little applications to do that. Why? This one, this one, this one. I'll give them a quick go. Have a look at this. Have a look at that. Oh, this one works best. I'll keep it. Why did the other two fail? I mean, it's a clock. It counts down from an hour. So how could I pick one over the other two? I'm sure that they all have virtually the exact same capabilities. I went with the one that was easiest to use. I didn't want to invest any time of my life sitting there getting a clock that counts down. So, okay, I admit I did 3 of them. We'll ignore that for a minute. That's just a personality flaw somewhere. So I went in there and I had a look at the application and, next. If a feature's too hard to use, too hard to find, that's a form of failure. Yeah. I'd suggest that a few of you have downloaded an application. Maybe, you know, I won't name names. I pulled down an application from a major vendor, looked really, really good. I thought, yeah, they're reputable, been around for a long time. Pay, download. Then I did what I wanted to do, which was actually some video chroma keying, and found that it was appalling. The little noise that was generated in there was just really hard work. And I think, well, that was a waste of however much money I paid. They had a trial. Yes, I should have downloaded the trial first, but I didn't. So as a result, I don't use the application. I gave them my money. I won't say anything nice about the application, and I won't encourage people to use it. That's a failure for that particular vendor. It's a failure on my part because I didn't give them the feedback. That's the worst thing. I need to get onto their support. I need to say, hey guys, this was rubbish. You need to fix this. That's you know, if you're going to complain, you've got to actually share that with the vendor. The database could be overloaded. A server request is simply too slow, or a downstream service is unavailable. The list goes on. Our applications can break in so many more places and ways today than any previous applications I think we've had to deal with in the last 20 years. So telemetry is the answer. Getting in there and finding out what's going on, getting fed information. So reasons that we don't do this. Actually, let's ask a different question. Who adds telemetry to their own applications? Well, this is excellent. And would anyone like to volunteer? I mean, do you use an existing vendor-provided solution? Do you write that yourselves? Any?
CA Unicenter.
Yeah, excellent. So, vendor application, fantastic. Anyone else? Excellent. Very common, good example over there. You write your own stuff, and then you'll rewrite your own stuff for the next application because, you know, even though you wrote it the first time, I'll do better this time. And Greenfields is the best place to code. Not so good for the bottom line and the budget, but as programmers, who cares? We want to go in there with a nice green field. We don't have the time for telemetry. Heck, with these increased release cycles we're talking about, we don't have time for most things. Error handling, gone. Telemetry, no chance. I don't want to create reports. That's the other side of it. Collecting all the telemetry is fine, but your stakeholders, your managers, want to see the results. You know, sending them a CSV file or XML file doesn't normally cut it. They want to be able to look at pretty graphs and pictures. So we've got a report on that. It's too hard to change. You know, our main application's been there for the last decade. We can't change it to put telemetry in there. It's just not going to happen. Or heck, that stuff's just for marketing. We don't do anything for marketing. They seem to be the evil guys. They promise unrealistic things and make me work when I'm in the office. So there's some challenges and issues there. All right, application insights. So application insights allows us to collect telemetry at all of the various components. There are providers there for phone applications, we can put little monitors on the server, all sorts of things. It is a service hosted in Visual Studio Online. So we emit all of that information up to the cloud. In the cloud, it is analyzed, it is evaluated, it is looked at, and then they present for us a full 360-degree view of what's going on with the application. What's its availability? What's its performance? How are people using it? That's application insights. It's currently in preview. It's been there for quite a while, and it's even changing as we speak. A smart presenter, and he looks around looking for one, would have done the demonstrations and everything using the version that was there, that he's used many, many times. But where's the fun in that? Where's the risk? Where's the opportunity for me to crash and burn and you guys to laugh about it? So we're going to have a look at a newer release of that. And I'll probably bump around a little bit because my mind's still in the other old way of doing this. But hey, I updated the slide. That was low risk. I've had one success. Let's count that. Some of the benefits. Mean time to detect. So how do we know if there's an issue with the application. Let's go up the back. You know, I'm going to pick on you. Sorry, say again? When the user complains. They're always complaining. We'll just ignore it. They'll ring back if it's real. That's not an attitude I'd recommend, by the way. It works. They leave a message. Excellent. When the lawyer rings, now we're listening. Excellent. So we find out that the application's broken when our users start complaining. Seems a little bit late. Wouldn't it be nice to beat them to the punch? We could ring them. Yeah, you could do that, I guess. Sorry, there is a short outage here. We're aware of it. We're looking at it. The ETA will be approximately 20 minutes. Wow, that's nice. As opposed to jamming the switchboard, complaining about the issues. So anything that reduces our mean time to detect is a huge win. I didn't include it in the slide deck, and I'm not sure why. I've got a very personal example of this. So, like many, I'm using Windows Azure Cloud, and or Azure, or whatever you want to call it. So I've got a virtual machine up there, and I host a whole bunch of my websites. And they're good. They're not high-volume ones. They support my training and all the things that I do. And it's all good, except as part of my MSDN subscription, I get $160 credit per month to use. Now, I've never really worried about it. I've looked and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to go a little bit close. There is a cap. I haven't needed to touch that, so I left it alone. So what happened about 3 months ago when I woke up and, one of the sites, all of the sites are down. That can't be good. So I swear I was about $161. That's the worst part. I've blown the cap by a dollar. What that does is it doesn't just stop the virtual machine with all the websites. At the time, it did something even better. That's sarcasm. It deallocated the IP address. So how do we fix this? Well, we go in there, we put in our credit card, we let it go over the cap for, well, and the irony was, by the time I did that, I was already into the next month's cycle. So it was like, it had to be like 20 cents over, I swear. But of course, the VM comes back up, none of the websites work because it's got a new IP address. And of course, like a good, you know, organization of one, I've got my DNS with about 37 different, you know, DNS providers. So I had to get the IP address, go to all those providers, wait for them to trickle through, and the outage would have been the better part of an entire day. The good news was I knew about it really quickly, much more quickly than I could fix it. But application insights, I look at my phone, hey, all your websites are down, I've got a problem. The worst part was I was asleep when I got that email, but that's all right, the email was there as a wake-up call. It's like, you know, dogs and children running over you in the morning. It's sort of that sort of, oh, great, it's going to be a good day. Meantime, to resolve. It's the second of the big counters that we look at. So after we've found that there is an issue, after we've been notified, how long is it going to take us to resolve it? Okay, you've got a problem. Problems happen, particularly with the rate of change that's kind of forced on us by business and by our users, I guess, in the end. The mean time to repair, if a big service like Visual Studio Online is out for 10 minutes, it's an inconvenience. If it's out for a day, the world comes to an end almost. Well, some people would think that. You know, if it's a 10-minute outage and you're all programming on VSO, you get a cup of coffee, you come back and you're okay. But if it's an outage for an entire day, now how do we fill your day productively? And management are thinking, what have we done going to the cloud? So anything we can do to reduce mean time to resolve is a big win. Now, this could be things like, you know, what rich information can you give us? Can you give us the ability to search over multiple logs? Let's have a look at the exceptions. Give me all of the rich diagnostic information you possibly can, and what that should do, hopefully, is to greatly reduce this. If it's off in the cloud, if it's hidden, if it's a black box and we know nothing about it, it will take us a lot longer to resolve whatever this issue is. So, the three pillars before we get into a couple of demonstrations. Is the application available and responsive? Okay, that's our first. Is the application performing? We want to be able to diagnose any performance issues and any exceptions that are occurring. And then finally, is, you know, how are our users using it? Is the application succeeding? You'll often see the third pillar written in two ways, usage or succeeding. And they're kind of the same thing. It just depends on what role you're playing when you have a look at it. So in management, we want to know, is the application succeeding? Are people using it? Are people engaging? Are they going in there? And we made a business decision to release in these three languages. Are our users actually engaging in those languages? Or should we have held up the release until we could support more languages? Now, the usage information can help us tell if the application is succeeding in meeting its goals. All right, is the application available? The availability of the application is both a critical component of the end user experience and an early warning indicator for us. We can use a single URL test, a little ping test. So availability allows us to go in there and say, hey, check that my homepage is there, please. And I'd like to check from any of up to 16 global points of presence. So I can easily go in there, tick, 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 tick. Yes, sir?
How do you do internal apps?
You can't if the internal application's not visible to Application Insights. Oh, actually, no, that's not a correct answer. How do you do internal applications? One way or another, I mean, you're talking about an external source. So if you're going to allow that external source in through a firewall and you can get the IP addresses, I mean, I don't know that I'd want to open a hole just for doing that from the cloud.
So I'd do services or anything like that? Any of the components behind the page?
Nothing that is internal. I mean, this is an external public point of presence. I mean, somewhere in Hong Kong or Sydney or Zurich, you know, there is a server over there that's going to go and do an HTTP or HTTP request to you. So that's what this is offering. There's probably a lot of choices like SCOM or any of those sorts of things that would do it for you internally. So we can go and choose those things. We can say we want to look for this every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes. We can specify an HTTP status code. We can talk about some content matching, although these aren't designed to be overly sophisticated. You know, are you there yet? Are you there? Are you there? That's really what they're saying. We can say, let me know if it fails in X number of locations in a certain period of time. I learned, you know, the service is in general preview. So I learned that you don't say alert me if one fails. Because I was getting a lot of emails, although they're a lot fewer now. If I've got six or seven of these set up and one of them says your site's down, the other, you know, five or six say it's all good. It's not your site. Okay. So I will generally set a threshold that at least two, possibly three, of these pings have got to fail before I want you to tell me about it. Okay? And it really is kind of that easy. We can do a little bit more than that. We can also go and use a multi-step web test. So has anyone created a web test using web performance and load testing in Visual Studio? Okay, not a lot of people. I was going to possibly do an optional demonstration there. I might actually hold that and we'll add that to the end if we've got some time. So a web test is really, you know, we go into Visual Studio and it records the HTTP response and request. So it allows us to do more. The ping message is, hey, go to this URL, do we get a 200 back? Okay, so the homepage is there. On my simple little calculator that I'll show you in a minute, and I've tried to make the app as simple as possible. We add two numbers together. It's one step above Hello World. But not, it's a small step. So I want to be able to go and say, don't just check that the page comes back, but I want to record me putting in two numbers and getting the response. So the web test has got to execute within 2 minutes, so it can't be long running, but we record that web test, we upload the web test, and then every 5 or 10 minutes, it will go and execute that web test for us. Now the good news is, apart from just saying, are you there? The fact that we've got one or more of these 16 global points of presence coming in and hitting my site and putting some things in and, you know, effectively clicking a button and moving through multiple pages, that can also feed performance data into the system. So by checking availability, it includes or increases the richness of information available. Okay? And they're very, very straightforward things to do. When we look at our availability, now these screens are changing. So if I do tend to show a couple of different things there, I hope that's not too confusing. If we have a look, and I'll show you the dashboards and I'll show you Application Insights as it is, I'll say pre-update 3. It looks one way. But of course, as Microsoft are moving more and more of that UI across to the new Azure portal, it's changing the way it's looking and feeling. And that change is happening kind of now. So the screen you're seeing there is the old one. The new one just looks a little different. All of the data remains the same. So hopefully that's not too confusing for everyone. Depending on what you've got there now, you might see this one, you might see the newer one. But what are we seeing? What are we looking at here? Well, firstly, if you have a look, actually I'll just talk about it. Every one of those green dots that you see is a test. So we simply go in there, I'll set up an availability monitor for you shortly, and I'll say, hey, go and run these tests from these points of presence every 5 or 10 minutes, and that's exactly what those dots are. We can zoom in on a particular area there. I can say, show me over the last 2 weeks, show me over the last 3 hours. If there is an error, it'll be a little red cross there. I really should have added this to the slide. When you look at it in the morning and it's sort of green, 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 and then it jumps up and it's all red, that's a bad thing. And you can see exactly how long I was asleep for between when it happened and when I got on there and had a look. Down the bottom there, the little number 2 is very, very telling. And that's very, very small. If you look in the bottom right-hand corner, trust me, there's a green 2. So let's do some very simple, basic diagnostics. My friend over in the front corner, he's looking really excited because he knows I'm going to ask him a question. You happy? You're looking forward to the question, aren't you? All right. Your website is broken. You've just got a call from a user. You're responsible for the web application. Your web app's broken. Get it fixed. What are you going to start thinking about? What question would you like to ask? Why is it broken? That's a good question. How long has it been broken? Sure. So when was the last time it was working? Excellent. And what's changed? How did you break it? Yeah, it's still going to be what's changed is going to be one of the first things. If this has been reliably working for the last month and we've not done anything, that's not normally how it goes. It's like, uh-oh. Did I do that last check-in? No? This is good. Now, the question is, what's changed? Now, we were able to see deployments as little dots across there. We can see when a deployment goes out. We can see when configuration changes. So if you see a little colored dot there, and then suddenly all of the green lines move up, that means that suddenly all of those tests are taking longer. So what did we change? Or worse, you see the little dot down the bottom, and then you start seeing an increase in those little red crosses. So straight away, we can probably point the finger and say, wow, whatever that last change was, wish we hadn't done that. And hopefully then we jump in and use something like release management that Damien Brady spoke about yesterday. We can use release management to roll back to the most, the last known good. That'd be really, really helpful. Down the bottom here, we can see all of our locations. And all you're looking at there is, I'm just doing it from Virginia. That's all I've got on the screen there. And you can see over the 24 hours, right down to 15 minutes, what percentage of those response times or those tests are succeeding.
Does this keep your Azure website alive as well?
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. Nice thinking. Now it's useful. Excellent. As a keep alive service, it'd be great if you could point it at SharePoint. Ooh, nasty person said that. All right. So in viewing our availability, you'll see there that I can select any one of those tests. Picking a successful one is nice and rewarding, but it's usually the red ones that we care most about. Imagine that one of those tests has failed. So I can go in there and select the test. I can double-click that individual test, that individual little circle, and open it up, and I can see information about it. Sadly, mine was... Don't you hate it when it's working? So mine was a little green dot. You double-click, you open it up. Notice that you can download the Visual Studio web test result. So I can click that hyperlink and open up the actual web test information. So on the right-hand side there, you can see the HTTP headers that went across, you can see what we were requesting, you can see what the response looks like when that test failed. So that's really quite helpful. So let's go and set up one of these things. And switch over here. So I'm going to go in. Do we do it with the old one or the new one? The old one's quick and reliable, the new one. Yeah, the new one, of course it is. What could possibly go wrong, right? Okay, so we'll go to portal.azure. And I'm also in this really interesting little, you know, before you do a presentation, you shouldn't change anything. It's good advice someone once said, it just didn't seem to stick for me. So I'm in this limbo land between Azure Active Directory accounts and Microsoft accounts and trying to get the sync and all that stuff working. So if I log on as one account, it doesn't work. I just pick the other one. That's getting tiresome really quickly. I'll go and log on in here. This is where we want the net to be nice and fast. Surely no one else is using the net in the conference. Okay, so there's our new look application. Now, this has been there for quite a while. Who's started using this Azure portal? So it's been there for, I'd like to say, several months, a few months. Gradually, more and more features are coming online. Okay, it's not too bad. So I'm going to go in here and say that I want to add. And there's lots of things I can put in here as I start this journey. I'm going to go and add, team project, that's interesting, but we want application insights. Let's make this full screen so you can see a little bit better. So what are we going to call this? I'll call it Tech Ed. I better even spell that properly. Tech Ed New Zealand. Web application, all that looks good. Will I use that account? Yeah, why not? Central US, great. So I'm accepting some of the defaults there. I'm trying to do that as quickly and easily as I can. So I've set up an application insights resource. I've got a little smiley face. It is really small. Little green smiley face says it's all good. And that, I think, only needs to be unique within my tenant. Create. Did I miss clicking that? I did. It's usually my fault. Plenty of people will tell you that. So I'm going to go and create that resource now. And let's see if the TechEd website's still working. And unfortunately, one of the things you're going to see is the response times aren't amazing. So I'm going to be running this set of tests from, this machine's actually running in the US that I'm looking at, and I'm creating a resource set in the US. So the response times aren't going to be marvelous. So let's go in here and have a look. So there's my group at the top. I'm happy with that one. And let's have a look at down here, some of my availability monitors. It says there are none there available right now. And we're going to go and create one. TechEd NZ homepage. Shuffle that to the side for a second. Steal the URL. So what's the URL we want to use? Okay, so there's the standard Microsoft TechEd URL. What locations do we want to run these tests from? Well, let's see how it runs from Chicago. Let's see if it runs from Singapore. Dublin, why not? Ooh, so there's going to be a limit now. Okay, that's different. And I hadn't noticed that before. So in the previous portal, I was easily able to go ahead and select all 16 there. They must have implemented a limit there now is what I'm seeing. Ooh, select up to three locations. Got to read that. Let's click on OK. I'm happy with the success criteria. So the success criteria for me is going to be an HTTP 200. I can also look for certain content matches. That's good. Let's create that right now. So it's going to go and create that availability monitor for me. It's going to sit there, and every 5 to 10 minutes, it's going to ping that website. It's going to then start mapping it. Now that's going to take, I mean, it's 5 to 10 minutes. So you're not going to see anything too exciting there for just a wee while. But over here, we've got zero fail tests. That's a win. And yeah, we'll ignore the zero successful ones. It's the failures that management care about, right? And we'll come back and have a look at that in just a little while. So straight away, we're going to be alerted. And I didn't configure that. I could have also said, tell other people if the site's down. Out of courtesy, I probably could have told some of the Microsoft New Zealand folk, hey, the website's down. But let's face it, it's going to stay up. Let's get out of here. Alrighty. How's your application performing? So this one's a little bit more interesting. The performance of a website or the service provides valuable feedback in our application lifecycle. I'll be talking websites, web services, and so on, but we've got providers there that can work with Windows Phone applications and a whole lot more. Performance can be monitored to ensure that our application-specific thresholds are met. And I think we need to go on and have a look. So how do we add application insights to a new application? Okay, let's see what we can do. So I'm going to go into Visual Studio over here. Not that one. Don't you hate it when Visual Studio is in too many places? Just kidding. So over here, we'll go into this Visual Studio. And there's my simple little web calc. As I said, you really can't get much easier than that. Let's prove that it actually works. That could be embarrassing to start with. If we can't add two numbers together, there's a problem. So I'm going to try and add the number 4 to the number 5. And 9. Okay. Not really going to take much credit for that one. So the web app works, but it's an existing application. Maybe it's an application that we wrote 2 years ago. I want to add application insights to it. So using ideally the more recent versions of Visual Studio, I'm simply going to go up to my web calc and right click. I'm going to say add application insights telemetry. If it is completely new, I had the opportunity there when I said file new project, the dialog now says, would you like to add this telemetry from the absolute get-go? So your telemetry can start from the moment the project's created. I'll say, sure, go and add application insights. Now remember, it is a cloud-hosted service. So it says, you know, what's your Azure subscription? So you've got to have an Azure account. If you look in the top right-hand corner, I am already signed in. Yes, I'll use that existing account, please, and create a new Application Insights resource for me. I'll go ahead and say, done.
Is there a way to do it for a company?
Is there a way to do it for a company? So, I mean, what, you've got a large number of applications, you want to add it to a large number of applications?
I've got a large number of developers. The large number of them is the in account.
Okay, having it added, you only need to add it once per application, but you would want to then centralize. You can go in there and you can specify owners of your application insights resources, you can specify contributors and readers to those things. So I would have a company account for those sorts of things and allocate my developers as contributors to that. Okay, so there's ways and means of managing that. So what it's done for me is it's gone and created the application insights configuration file. I'll go ahead and save that. Let's have a look at WebCalc now. So it's going to go and open up the Azure portal. And what you'll see, hopefully. Okay, so there's WebCalc. So that Application Insights resource has been created for me. Now I could choose to go into my Quick Start. And how do we add Application Insights? What we can see here is you can right-click on your project as I've just done. Now that would require Visual Studio 2013 Update 3. It can be added to older versions, but just you've got to download the V6 package to do that. As we work our way down, I can add code to monitor web pages. This is very much very, very similar code that many of you may have seen with Google Analytics. So show me how I can add code to my pages. So we go across there and it says, well, this is the code that you need to add. So I can go ahead and just simply copy paste that straight into the master page, and that would report that information back for me. But for now, I'll just exit out of here. If I was to go back across and simply run the application, so all I've done is right-click, add Application Insights Telemetry to the existing application. I've used an existing account that I had with Visual Studio Online. Now I click Run, and that's now going to be feeding telemetry straight back to Application Insights. Now remember, there is going to be probably a 5 to 10 minute lag there. So even though it's running right now, even though I go and put a couple of things through it, so it's a 4 and a 5, well, my sample data is not very diverse. And let's really go and do a 40 and a 50. It's working great. So just using that application, just debugging it, testing it, working on my machine, is feeding information right now back up to the Application Insights service. If I was to right-click there and go and deploy this application now, the telemetry is feeding across to my application. And I'll show you some samples of some of those things. Clearly, this has just been created, so there's no historical data, not a lot of interesting perf stuff for you to see. But I've certainly got some screenshots there, with a little bit more information in it. Let's look at another scenario. The next scenario is we've got an existing application. Now, we host the machine. It could be an Azure VM. It could be a physical box inside the company. So a slightly different scenario now. Okay. In the top corner there, it reported that information is being fed up to Application Insights. So I'm going to go across to a machine. Did I type that right? Let's see. Here's a machine where we host our web applications for the company. It could be that we've got 20 or 30 applications here. They've been working reliably, hopefully reliably, for the last year. I now want to add application telemetry to these things. Now, I'm not currently working on those applications. I'm not planning to redeploy new features anytime soon that I can think of. So is there an option that doesn't require me to change code and redeploy? The answer is yes. So I need to have administrative access to the machine. I need to be able to install software on it. And of course, you need that Visual Studio Online account. So I'm going to go in here and start the web platform installer. And I'm going to go and do a simple search for Application Insights. I'll pop up here, Application Insights. Let's see what we find. Okay, so the Application Insights status monitor. Again, I said that it is in preview. Let's go ahead and add that and install it. Sure, I accept that. To be clear, you do need to be a local administrator to do this. You're installing software. All right, so we've done that. I'll exit out of here. And right now it's grabbing some the latest binaries there for that particular agent for me. It's going to pull that down, and it's going to allow me now to wire up Application Insights for existing, in my example here, web applications sitting on the server. Okay, so it is the same simple little web application, but at the moment there is zero Application Insights inside this particular website. No. So web applications, web services, it works. The story with desktop applications. I'm not as familiar with desktop applications. So we can get it to work with, there's a story for mobile devices, websites, web services. I'm just not sure what the desktop application story is. Yeah. I know that there are people out there doing it. Thank you for pointing out that it works with Windows Store applications as well. There are people out there doing it. I think they're being a little bit creative with their coding and APIs to do such a thing. So I don't think it's a supported story yet. Okay. So it's asking me to log on here. So I better go ahead and do that properly. Eeny, meeny, miny. All right, so what it's telling me is that I may have picked the wrong one. Excellent. So the Application Insights status monitor started up there. Down the left-hand side, you'll see the websites we were able to find on this particular web server. I'm going to go in there and say, well, look, here's WebCalc. Again, it's just, this is a hosted VM sitting up in the cloud with a very simple little web application installed on it. I'll go over here and I can say, create an Application Insights resource, or maybe I've already got one. So here's one here. I've already gone into the Azure portal and said, create the Application Insights resource for me. That was just my choice. I chose to go in there and add that through the portal first. So I'll say, use that one, please. And I'll simply say, add Application Insights. Okay, and there you go. So the telemetry is now being collected for that web application from that hosted web VM. And that is now being sent, the perf data, because now we've got an agent running where the code runs. So now I'm able to get incredibly rich information about it. I can do things like look at the disk utilization. I can look at the CPU. I can look at memory, all the typical perfmon counters that I've got access to. And that's now being fed up into Application Insights. You've noticed up the top here, there is also the ability for me to turn on the Application Insights profiler. That'll allow me to get access to some of the logging capabilities and a whole lot more. Okay.
But environment.
Sure. Sure. So can you, just to repeat your question a little bit, so can you do this for applications that you didn't write? So if this was an off-the-shelf application we purchased, if it was a .NET application that's running here as a website, I mean, I do happen to have the WebCalc code, but there is no code available to it just here. It's a standard .NET application. So long as we've got a .NET application from any vendor that we put on here, if it's a website and you've got access to the server that hosts it, yes, you can do that. Absolutely. So we can set up our availability monitors. Usage monitors would require us to put some code into the web page if you wanted to include that. But certainly you'll get the perf data out of it. Okay. I can choose to go and stop that anytime I wanted to, but right now, as people use that application, information is going to be fed over to Application Insights. I'll jump off that VM now, and I wonder if we're seeing anything from, not WebCalc. Okay, good. Do we see anything from my availability monitor for TechEd yet? Not yet. Okay, so we're starting to see some tests coming in. Zero failures, I'm going to call that a huge win. Okay, I should have picked a different application. It does take a little bit of time. Remember, these are coming from the US. So my guess is that there's a lot of traffic over the Pacific right now.
Yeah, shipping.
All right, so I'd like to show you a little bit more there. There is an enormous amount of information available here. I mean, in terms of just getting us started through that web UI, you'll see there we've had zero failed requests. I mean, we're not doing any of that perf data yet. But if you were able to go and see things like the number of pages, the errors. If an error occurs, and this is one of the really, really nice things, if we were to get an application exception, we can open up and look at that exception, we can click a link, and you can click that link and download the IntelliTrace file. So for those of you with Ultimate that have started using IntelliTrace, it's been around for several releases, you can then pull down and step through the code as it was running at the time. Anyway, so let me just... I'm getting a little flash there, so I'm 9 seconds over time. So let me just switch back over here. All right, so two very, very quick slides there, and I better let you get on your way. So in looking at the application telemetry, Here were just some of the slides, and I do apologize that I'm just going to show you that. The usage data that we see is very, very similar for those people using Google Analytics today. Remember, we've got three pillars. The usage pillar has a lot in common with Google Analytics, for those of you that are familiar. But Google Analytics doesn't offer much in those first two pillars, if anything at all. So there is an incredible amount of information available there for us. We can also see things about the environment, the users, where they are, the browsers they're using, the languages they're using. And I go through that reasonably quickly because that's probably something we've had for a little while. So to recap, Application Insights helps us understand if our application's available. It helps us understand if the application's performing, if it's improving, you know, with subsequent releases or if it's getting worse. And finally, we get to see what's happening as far as the usage of the application and is it succeeding. So just scratching the surface at Application Insights, but hopefully it's a point for you to go and have a look and start using this yourself. So guys, thanks for coming along. I'll have a couple of questions, but I'm sure there's another speaker coming in. Enjoy the rest of your final day at TechEd. Thank you.